So we prayed for the kingdom to come. Before I get into teaching or before we get out of this moment, I'd like to debrief a little bit of what we asked God to do. We don't seek manifestations. We don't look for things to happen, but we do look to the King, and we ask Him to bring His kingdom. And what His kingdom is everything that our world is not. There's no brokenness in His kingdom. So His kingdom comes to heal the brokenness of this fallen world. So when we say bravely, "Your kingdom come," and we seek Him, we worship Him, He is faithful to bring His kingdom. Some of you who were sitting were getting the kingdom. I know, because I've got the kingdom, and you're sitting there, and you're like, man, and it's not, the kingdom is not an everyday thing for most people, so there could bring up contention. The enemy is like, this is silly, this isn't happening, this isn't real, she told him earlier or something, but the bottom line is, God knows, and He sees into the pockets, He sees the broken places, and it says there's no wall He won't kick down. So He kicked a couple walls down. And He did climb up mountains. And He invaded us here because we asked Him to. And there's no hurrying those moments. Like, even if we live in that moment, that's what we come for. There will be more accomplished with the manifest presence of Christ and the kingdom being in this room than 500 teachings from a man apart from the Spirit of God. So, and here's the other thing too, because we love our sisters and our brothers, if we got nothing when the kingdom came, but my sister got something, then we were just graced to be a part of that. So we're all on the same page? Hallelujah. God, You're so good. And You have set me to teach Holy Spirit-filled homes. It's lesson 6 in Your book. And as you're getting that out, I just want to say a couple things. When you get it open to page 24, underline the word filled like 1,000 times. Highlight it, whatever you need to do. Because Holy Spirit-filled homes is what we're talking about. Not the Holy Spirit's at your home once in a while. We're talking about a complete filling of your home with the people in it, or wherever you're traveling, or wherever. Because we take the Holy Spirit with us, right? I'm hoping that everyone here is born again, is sealed by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is indwelling in you. And as Dale led us to this place, so important, the jacket, in the pockets, in the marriage, and in Himself. It's a this teaching, don't read it ahead, because you're not going to get anything out of it, what I'm about to say, before I get into the teaching. And yeah, so just get your pencil or pen. And so when Dale said about him being qualified to teach marriage, you know, he was joking about that. So when we set these teaching, we just asked God, what do You want us to teach? Who should teach it? Holy Spirit homes came to me, and I'm like, cool. And everyone else said, yeah, that's good. So I'm about as qualified to teach Holy Spirit-filled homes as Dale was to do his. But I'm going to tell you why I think God allowed me to be assigned to this teaching today for you guys. I've been in enough bad homes. Like, mistakes. When God shows you mistakes and shows you bad stuff, and then He shows you the kingdom, there's such a comparison, there's such a clash. Like, you know that you know that that was bad, and you know that you know that God is good. And this morning He woke me up at 4:30 in the morning, and He revealed this to me. Since 1990, when I moved out of my parents' house, Shane and I are getting ready to move in 2 weeks. This will be my 27th place I've lived in 28 years. And since 2002, This will be my 22nd place in 16 years, and Shane and I's 7th place in 7 years. What does that really have anything to do with the Holy Spirit home? We've been in a lot of places, and we've had, our heart was for addicts, so we've brought active addiction people into our house. While we were promoting the Holy Spirit and seeking the Holy Spirit. And I will tell you, when you bring someone who is intravenously using drugs into your house, it changes some things. Okay? We're talking, when I said underline filled, okay, there's no doubt about it that Jesus is in your house. Like, if you're a Holy Spirit, if you're not living fleshly, you're living even a percentage into the Spirit, by the Spirit, through the Spirit, the Holy Spirit is there. And the bottom line is this, He wants to possess that house. It's good to be possessed by the Holy Spirit, completely. You're owned, but there's pockets in our life, rooms in our house, let's just say. So in those houses that Shane and I have lived in, man, we've seen some crazy stuff. The house we're living in right now, my dad is unsaved. It's where I grew up. Fornication in the house, pornography in the house, drug abuse in the house, spirit of control over my mom in the house. And then Shane and I, 2 years ago in Atlanta, a sword was laid over us to anoint us as warriors, and he said, "You're going into battle." And today, right before we came here, God revealed the battle. See, we don't always win the battle. Christ wins, God wins the war, win the battle. Sometimes the battle is to refine us. Sometimes we have to limp out of the battle, say, "Man, I didn't do anything in there." And God's doing something. Believe me, God's shifting things. But when I'm sitting there trying to read the Bible, and I'm having thoughts come to me of teenage fornication that I did in the house and drugs, and then weirder thoughts like, "Man, you should do that now." Listen, that's not the Holy Spirit, and that's not even me. It's not me wishing I had my 14-year-old girlfriend again. That's the spirit that was left in that house trying to say, "This room, Daniel, is mine. Come and take it." And then I have to say, "Lord, I need you to go into that house. And I need you to go into this room and redeem what I've done." But then my dad lives there, and he's not surrendered to Christ. So the devil says, "I got squatter's rights, dude. This guy wants me here. The house is in his name." And now we have a battle for the house. Battle for our marriage. Because the devil's like, "Listen, dude, if I can't get you to be fornicating with young girls and get you to do something, I'm just going to come between you and your wife. I'm going to mix up the words that you say." See, God wants to possess our homes, and the devil wants to wreck the home. If he can't wreck your marriage, he wants to wreck the home. He wants places and things to go bad. He wants people to come there and deposit things that don't belong there. He wants to drag up your past. See, in order for us, see, it would be great for me to just read these 7 things. You know, the Holy Spirit will influence your mindset and this and that. And let's just pray and say, "God, do that." Man, if that was the case, come on, Lord, just bless us. But here's the deal. We weren't always saved. We weren't always walking with the Lord. And the people before us might have been into some bad things. See, there's different things. We can live in the flesh. Here's a couple notes I took. And I'm not a note taker, so I'm just going to tell you as I was processing this. So your home is filled with something. Can we agree with that? Like, there's no neutral thing. Like, the Holy Spirit has 3 rooms and these other 4 are just empty. No, there's something there. There's either a future Holy Spirit place. You're either going to set it aside. You're going to sanctify it, clean it out, set it aside, because your heart's the one that cleans it. Like, there's no spick and span to wipe the walls down when there's spirits of oppression. So that's one instance. There's another instance, too. I have Google, and it tracks everywhere I go. And this year, I've had 100 cities and 375 destinations. It tells me. It fills me in. So I've been in a lot of places. I've been there for a lot of different reasons. And one thing that I've noticed, idolatry and family practices will also hinder the movement of the Holy Spirit. We can't be in the kitchen. John comes over to my house, and I'm praying, Lord, we gotta help us out here. We're having problems. And Shana can't be back in the bedroom praying over Uncle Elmer's ashes, asking Uncle Elmer to come alive from his ashes and help us out. It doesn't work that way. God tells us in his word, don't be seeking that kind of stuff. Like, I am who you seek. Listen, it's not as far-fetched. That may sound crazy, but I'm telling you, I mean, I've showed up at houses, and they're like, don't worry, I've prayed over the, I've asked this statue 4 or 5 times. Now, listen, that's a sensitive thing, because that statue means a lot. Uncle Elmer's ashes mean a lot. But when it comes to biblical truth, where the Holy Spirit can possess this house, we have to line it up with the Word of God. So we can't say, Jesus, come in, and we're all gonna fight this together. No, we need Jesus to come in and fight it. We need to be surrendered, you know. You can't be Bible studying in one room, and on the back of your computer you have pornography saved in it. Like, the Holy Spirit may move in that biblical. And here's the deal. When he says, there's no wall, I won't kick down, you won't kick down, we sing that. Listen, I'm going to tell you something. Jesus saved us from the punishment of our sin, but he did not save us from the consequences of our sin. I go out and sock somebody in the nose at Sheets, I'm not worried if I'm going to sit, oh, I'm not getting into heaven now. I'm going to need to have a repentant heart. But I am worried about the Williamsport police arresting me and me not making it tomorrow. You know what I'm saying? So pornography in a marriage, if it's sneaking in my jacket, might not have any effects on the surface. But if I'm looking at distorted images, then I'm expecting my wife to live up to these images, which is hurting our marriage. And then God's going to kick the wall down, and someday she's going to go in there to buy something, sneak a pair of shoes to buy, and hit something, and bam, up goes Dan's file of videos. And God's like, oh, man, what's going on here? He knows. And he wants to clean the house. See, I did a teaching. I don't remember if it was at this campus or what. It's called Cleaning House. And then this one is Holy Spirit-filled homes. Technically, they're kind of the same thing, but this is the goal. This is where we're headed. We're saying, Christ, take everything in our house and cleanse it. Cleanse my heart first. Because listen, we can be completely cleansed. Completely cleansed. And I mean, like, repented of everything. And there's something left in the house from somebody before. Pennsylvania is huge. Did you ever hear of radon gas? Radon gas. It's this invisible, deadly gas. People are getting sick. Could be coming up from the floor right now. We have no idea. But there's this little alarm thing that tests. They test it. It says, wow, you have a dangerous radon gas, carbon monoxide. Can't see it, but it's deadly. Same thing with curses, family curses, spirits, all that stuff. You're like, man, I'm striving, man, we're working. We're working hard. We're seeking the Lord. We're worshiping the Lord. We're in our word. What's going on? There's something here. Discernment and understanding. Listen, I get accused all the time for giving the devil too much credit. But listen, I went to the Lord. I said, Lord, listen, I don't want to give him any credit. What do I need to change? Because people get freaked out because I talk about the opposition a lot. And here's what he showed me. And I want this to sit in you. Lord, the way it sat in me, let me explain it. See, in America, this part came from Shana. She gave me light to this. In America, getting credit means something good. Mostly. If I give John credit for something, he can, hey, attaboy. But that's not always the case. If you're a sports fan and the shortstop makes an error, he gets credit for the error. But no one's going to give him a promotion because, man, he just led the run, unearned runs. In football, holding 73. Everyone looks at 73. Dude, you just blew that call. He's getting credit for it. See, there's a difference of giving the devil credit and giving him power. See, when my son comes up to me with those manipulative eyes and says to me, hey, Dad, I need this, I'm like, ah, not today. I know where you're going with it. See, we spot the lie. And then we respond to it. If it's me, I repent. If it's you, I rebuke. Very simple. Is it me or you? Not you, necessarily. Everybody's like, uh-oh. Like, don't be rebuking me. The Spirit of God's here. But seriously. So we recognize it. So as I'm speaking these things, because we're going to get to filling our house. But man, right now, I guarantee you, somebody's knees are knocking. Because God's revealing you something. It might not be bad. It might be a trinket from 10 generations ago that just so happened to be involved in witchcraft or something. If God's revealing something that needs to be moved and needs to get rid of it. I worked a prayer room down in Atlanta, and a woman from another culture came in, and she said, "My son's a mess, this is a mess, heal me." And God showed me right on her chest. She didn't have it. He showed me a jewel. And I said, "What is that?" And he said, "Ask her." I said, "Do you have a jewel?" "Yeah, my mom gave it to me and said my life will be great, and she prayed and set this stone on me and everything." And I said, "Dude, that's a stone that's making your life terrible. That thing's cursed. That's not God. Like, God doesn't send you a stone to make your life better. He sends the Holy Spirit to fill your home." Very simple. And it is a struggle. I know really good people. Like, and I don't mean like good, because none of us are good. I mean people that I know they're aligned with God. Struggling. Kids are struggling. Their kids are struggling. Their parents are struggling. The dog's got all kinds of diseases and stuff. Man, it's a battle, dude. He does not want your house to be possessed. Because here's what happens. When our house is completely filled with the Holy Spirit, people walk in the door and they're like, "Whoa, what is that?" Now, that's the Spirit of God. And if you got any unconfessed sins, I'd say it now, because you're about to just start rattling them out. Because, I've been in a couple. Exactly. Thank you, brother. But I'm telling you, out of thousands of houses, listen, I've been in crack houses. I've been in prostitution houses. I've owned tattoo parlors where bad stuff was going in. Shane and I have been in all kinds of houses. And I have been sensitive to spiritual realm since I was a kid. Walk in a place, whoo! As a matter of fact, Patrick and I stayed in a house in New Mexico. The guy comes up to the door, and he lets us in, has the key, goes, "Hopefully you guys will make it." We're like, "What?" He goes, "Everybody who comes here gets sick and has to leave within the first day." And we're like, "Row, row." And there's statues, cursed statues. As a matter of fact, I'm like, "Dude, rebuke this stuff." I'm like throwing it out the door. But I'm going to tell you something. He was sick. I had rashes on my body that weren't normal. I had weird dreams where like snakes are biting me and stuff. Listen, dude, I don't have those dreams. That house was not filled with the Holy Spirit. Even with us battling, Benadryl, praying, throwing statues, the Holy Spirit got us through it. But he's like, "Dude, this place has been set aside for the devil." Like God's telling us, when you're done, leave. Don't try to fight that battle. That's not my battle. That's not in my name. But you guys have a place that you need to fight for. It was owned by the church. What's it's even worse? We don't understand why our missionaries are dying and all these people. I was like, because the devil hates them. Yeah, like you bring your Bible in, it like gets slapped out of your hand. I mean, it was craziness. Like it was everything we could to get through that week. It's crazy. You know, so this stuff is real. Like if you're encountering things, you ever sit down and read your Bible and you're like trying to read and the words are like, I challenge you to do this. Holy Spirit, come. I rebuke anything that's trying to keep me from this Bible. Right now, in Jesus' name, I bind you up. Bring me clarity, Lord. Because his word says, right? If you lack wisdom, ask him. Right. But don't doubt. Don't doubt. Like, is it really? Is that lamp moving back and forth? Was that a devil or is that just like the table? No, listen. Stuff is real. The spiritual realm is more real than this physical realm. Listen, in the physical realm, we could have never known what was going on in her life. I don't know what was going on in her life, but God did. She could have never gotten healed. It's not the doctor's office here. You don't walk up, they get all your stuff. There's not a paper you guys filled out. Did anyone fill out a paper? Have you been hurt this week? Who hurt your feelings? Are you suffering with porn? No. The Holy Spirit reveals these things. So it's the spiritual realm, and we're seeking God, right? See, the thing is, we want the Holy Spirit in our home, but do we want it to be filled? And this, I didn't even get to the teaching yet, guys. Is anybody like trying to read? Listen, because to say, "God, I want you to fill my home," it's going to be a cost. Yeah. If you don't like cleaning, dude, I would rather scrub a sink than have my sins pulled out, my healings, go back to my dad and apologize for the things that I've done. I mean, I'm all about making amends. I've lived such a messed up life. Dude, I want it to be, and here's my deal. The more I get closer to the Holy Spirit, the more the devil hates me. It seems like it seems to be kicking it up a notch. Things come out of the woodwork. But listen, he's with us in the battle. This teaching is so important. Like, So I'm just going to touch on some of, there's seven things. I'm going to touch on with what we have here. Like, I have some notes that Shane and I have been through, and then we're going to do some ministry. Robert's going to come up, and we're going to try to work through these things. But the first thing on there says, the Holy Spirit will influence your mindset and the way you think. Do you guys think at home the same way you think at church? Well, probably. You just don't act on it at church. But do you have, like, you go to church, hey, I'm the worship leader, and then you go home and you're like, give me a beer, and screaming and yelling? Because listen, I've seen it. I've seen it in ministry partners that I have done ministry with. We leave the place, go to their house, and they turn into a whole different monster. I'm like, whoa, what's going on here? Like, and it didn't sit well in my spirit. And when I do that, my gracious wife will let me know, hey, dude, that's not cool, right? So let me tell you a real quick story on that. The Holy Spirit will influence your mindset and the way you think. There's a show called Sons of Anarchy. Shane and I used to love it. I was a biker, man. I've seen it all. Meth, shoom, boom, baseball bats in the head, shooting at people, done it all. And I used to love that show. And Shane and I, in 2011, we moved into our tattoo parlor, and we were getting released into ministry. And we just couldn't wait till that season started. We're just like, yeah, because everyone, Tattoo Dan, even when I'm preaching over them, praying and preaching, Tattoo Dan, it's a whole different thing. That show comes on, and within, what, 15 minutes, we were so stinking grieved. The Holy Spirit in us was like, they shot a guy, set him on fire, and I was like, Christ in me was like, what are you doing? Romans 12:1, present ourselves as a living sacrifice. Romans 12:2. Be renewing your mind, like the Word of God is renewing your mind. So Jesus was saying to us, listen, I've called you from that life, and now you're putting that stuff back into your mind. You don't think that? Listen, in that same town, there was a little baby, about 2 or 3 years old, and the mom would show this kid horror movies. And she said, he's having nightmares, crazy stuff's going on. I said, dude, you're showing him horror movies. Like, you know, he's chainsaw stuff, he's punching holes in the wall. That has nothing to do with it. You know why? Because the people that are discipling her say, ah, that's redeemed, you can do, everything's permissible, not everything's beneficial. Wait a minute, what on earth would make you think that that's beneficial to show your kid, and let alone permissible? I'm sure Jesus didn't go to the cross so this kid could watch a guy hack someone up with a chainsaw. Like, we have to be sensible. Like, what's your freedom there? So anyhow, there are all kinds of issues with that. And I stepped in, I said, listen, there's demon oppression here. Oh, I'm saved, I have the Holy Spirit. Still dealing with that stuff. Man, we got to part with that stuff. We have to use, there's some common sense that God gives you. Who here believes that God invented common sense? Like, seriously, like death, hacking up, you know, explicit sexual stuff, all that, that's not good for our brains. Music, rap, you know. We're good. We travel a lot, sometimes 10, 12 hours at a time driving, and sometimes you just don't get a Christian channel. You really don't. It's like, oh, man, these CDs in here. Yeah, hit a channel. We can go about 2 Metallica songs until we start to be like, you know, I'm like speeding. She's like, whoa, whoa, we need to get out of this thing. Like, I'm serious, man. Like, Jesus loves the people in Metallica, but he doesn't like, kill you, kill me, songs like that. He hates that because that gives glory to the devil. And I'm not condemning you for your music. I'm just saying, if you're wondering why you have a couple rooms in the house that people are afraid to go in, it's probably this. Jesus loves you. He wants to possess that house. He wants to move in every single room because it changes everything. It'll influence your motivation and will. Did you ever hear of the pothead kid on the couch for his whole life? I mean, I was that guy. I've been back at my parents' house 5 times in my lifetime. This is the first time I went back to my parents' house that I wasn't strung out on drugs or kicked out of somebody's house. But that stigma over my head, I'm like, hey, what am I doing here? Like, I'm not whacked out. Why am I here, God? And he's like, because I want you to redeem some things to set you free. So it influences your motivation and your will. I will tell you, that house is killing our motivation. Seriously. Like, we're all gung-ho. But man, you get in this like dark, everything's dark. There's a spirit of darkness. There's a spirit of control. And it takes all of our strength to submit to Christ just to get through the day. It's because of the house, man. It's what's in the house, what we did in the house. Holy Spirit will give you energy where you didn't think you had energy. He will change your will. Your will be God's will. He says that the Holy Spirit will reveal God's will and he'll make you want to do that. You know, speaking of, you know what's really taught me? Since I was assigned this teaching Shane and I befriended a homeless guy. Befriended him. 6 years, Jesus is taking care of this guy. He reads a Bible. He has his issues. No home. When it's 96 degrees and he hasn't slept in 2 days and he's walking around, I can't even imagine being tired and having nowhere to go. Like, not even. He lays on the beach. He's been beat up. He's been robbed. He got hit by a car. And I was like, God, why? What is this? This guy's, you know, he's teaching us all kinds of stuff. You want to see the love of Christ? Go sit with a homeless guy. And then just start looking at him through Christ's eyes. Like, dude, this guy is just hurting. But motivation and will. This guy has some kind of will. Dude, if I was run over by a car, robbed and all that stuff, I would be checking myself in somewhere. But this guy, he's, no, God will take care of me. So the Holy Spirit does influence your will. So just imagine filling your house with the Holy Spirit. Like, because you're going to want to do God's things. Imagine your assignments and your will being directed what God wants done. Because truthfully, to be honest, I mean, we're dedicated, but I'll bet you 30% of our life is what God probably wants. And 70% is eating and this and that. And you know, we got to just get our stuff done. But God will even direct that when you allow him to possess the house. This is about possessing the house, the whole house, not rooms. This is what this teaching is about. Man, if you can get it done, it's going to change your life. Then the more rooms, the better. Man, you're always going to have that one, you know, that ornery kid or the angry dad or whatever you're going to do. Man, but praying for someone, because you get 6 rooms out of 7 rooms filled with the Holy Spirit. Then they got to stay in 1 room. Because if they go to the other 6, they're going to get walloped by the Holy Spirit. The kingdom's going to come because we've asked it to. And when the kingdom comes, you can only be an angry old man for a short time till God kicks a wall down. So it does change our motivation, our will. It will influence your lifestyle and habits. Man, I used to get mad at people who spent all the time building their body up. I was like, the Bible says this. So I got sick. And God said, you know that is a temple. Like, that may be an idol to them, but you need to get moving. You need to do something. Like, the devil's diseased you. I've healed you from the consequences of it. But if you allow yourself, if you treat that temple like a piece of garbage, the devil is going to have squatter's rights again in your body. So now I go to the gym, and now I've got to pray for cancer. People who have cancer, I've made friends. As a matter of fact, I just told them that we were leaving, and they're bawling. What do you mean? Who's going to pray over them? You know, and I was like, listen, man, it's going to be good. God's good. We've connected it. It has nothing to do with me, but Holy Spirit filled, take it to the gym. How about Holy Spirit filled gyms? Like, let's just call it that. Because the bottom line is, the Holy Spirit doesn't go into a building, because Jesus said that. Do you remember that? The woman at the well, they start talking, and they're like, well, will you go there to worship? And he says, listen, worship in spirit and truth, right? I've been in some churches that had the same feeling as strip clubs, brick and mortar of churches. And I've been in other places that had a better feeling than some of the churches. It's not, you don't put a steeple on a cross and everything's cool,
right?
Okay? It's about the people submitting. Man, as John Eric was worshiping, like he didn't have a plan. He was worshiping. He was submitted. He was under the influence of the Holy Spirit as the kingdom came. You could tell by the words he was saying. He wasn't saying, look at me. He was saying, Jesus. And that's the difference. That's what changes his lifestyle and his habits so that he can usher in. And Patrick, so I'm not trying to exclude you guys, but just trying to, you know, everyone, like when we do things like that, that's what changes. He will influence your attitudes and the way you respond to each other. Friends and married people, everyone has a friend. Is anyone here without a friend or a spouse? No friends, you have no friends or your spouse. Anyone? Patrick? Okay, he has no friends. So you don't have to worry about this teaching, this part of it, because you don't have to respond to anybody. But anyhow, so when the Holy Spirit is influencing my wife and I, or my friends and I, okay, there's a whole different response. There really is. It's a whole different, hey, can you slow down? Yeah, honey. I'm sorry, I wasn't paying attention. Throw some Metallica on. I'm not really paying attention to God. Can you slow down? What? I'm not going fast. And then, listen, how many people have had that? Hangry. Do you know when you don't eat and stuff, you start getting hangry? There is a demon called hangry. I don't know that, but I'm telling you, eat, then rebuke it. Because you can rebuke it and not eat, and it doesn't work. But you get what I'm saying. It will influence the way you talk to each other. There's no way, what's your first name? Donna, right? There's no way Donna would walk up to me on the street and put your hand on my head and we'll all pray. There's no way, but the Holy Spirit, this is a safe place. So our interaction and the ladies that we're with, it's okay. Like, it changes us. It's a lot of judgment. A lot of judgment. You see somebody, I can't believe that guy. Look at that homeless guy. Sit down with him. I'm reading the Bible. I know more about Jesus than you do. Whoa, you know. When the Holy Spirit is in a relationship, it's like he's talking. In Matthew 18, you have a conflict with somebody in your church, or a brother. See, we got to remember the Bible's written to the church. Like, you don't just take that down to the bar, two drunken guys. Listen, you pick the sin, go get two witnesses, and then kick them out of the bar if it doesn't work. It doesn't work that way. This is written to us. Okay? So we can't, like, well, why didn't my neighbor do this? Because this is not for him. He is not born again. This word means nothing. It's like, blah, 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 blah. Two people slept together, blah, blah, blah. That's what that means to people. So this is written to us. So the Holy Spirit, Jesus says, where two or more are gathered and you're in conflict. This is the context of that in 18. I'm with you. So he's saying the Holy Spirit is going to work out your differences. You're not going to be tit for tat. You're not going to bring up things for tat. I'm going to be there and there will be true healing. So it will influence the way you respond to each other. The Holy Spirit will influence the way you talk with each other. It's kind of the same thing. And even the content of your conversation. You know what I mean? I can tell you, when Shane and I have had enough of the day, our conversations are not as gracious and graceful. As a matter of fact, we've talked and then went to bed and laid there because we pray. And we've laid there like, oh, Lord. Man, we repent for that. Like, instead of saying, man, I wish Dad would have received this, we're like, why'd he do that? Man, brickin', 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 brickin'. You know, it's like, whoa, where did that come from? You know why? Because we weren't submitted. We grieved the Holy Spirit. There's no way that Jesus, living in both of us, was like, yeah, call your dad that again. Woo! No, he's like, why are you doing this? Because I died for your dad.
Right. Right.
I died for him. Stop. And it says that we will be accountable for every idle word. No, right. But consequences, you're not going, you know, oh, you said that about your, but the consequences of that, you know, who's to say that God didn't assign me to change, to be the catalyst in my dad's life to change? So I'm supposed to be like Jesus, and if I'm calling him a bricker, bracker, wrecker, that's not Jesus. That's not going to help. So it changes how we talk to each other. Not just our response, but the context of the conversation, the contents of the conversation, you know, all kinds of things. And then it says, the Holy Spirit will give you, give your family a spirit of generosity. When Shane and I lived in Emporium, and there's two of our friends, Rick and Betty from Emporium, they were part of a house church where we were friends with them. We fed a lot of people. We were on food stamps. We didn't have nothing. Like, we had nothing. We didn't know where our meal was coming from, but God provided. And there were times we'd have 8 or 10 people there eating spaghetti. And we're like, man, how did that ever work? How did we do that? And it wasn't begrudgingly. It was the Holy Spirit in us. And then we moved drug addicts in the house. Oh, we'll help them. And then there's the conflict. We moved a mother-in-law in the house. Conflict. Her father-in-law, my dad. I mean, that cleaving, leaving and cleaving, take it, dude. Do not try to go back because it does not work. God's like, whoa. Holy Spirit's like, don't do it, Bluest. Oh, it'll be okay. And here we are, like, begging him. And God's grace has set us free from that. And the next place we go to, and we discuss this, we are going to pray over that place. We've learned something called the two-minute drill. A Christian counselor taught us a two-minute drill. It's how you respond to each other. If something comes up that offends one of us, instead of saying, what? And starting a fire, you say, is it a good time to talk, Shana? And if it's good, she says yes. If not, then don't say, if it's not good, if you're boiling inside, don't say, oh yeah, it's good. You let it go, let God, because God will give you peace and he'll give you wisdom. So this little two-minute drill, I said, we got to live by this thing. I don't want to offend my wife. God doesn't want me to offend my wife. You know, he talked about marriage, and that's the on earth, it is Christ in the church, right? It's Christ's relationship, the marriage of the church. There's no way the Jesus in me wants to show an abusive towards the, Jesus is not abusive towards the church. As a matter of fact, when we started seeing the counselor, I'm going to get real, I was like, dude, I'm going to tell her all the things that need to change with Shayna. I'm telling you, and I'm driving out the road, the turnpike to Pittsburgh. Self-talk, unstable foundation, not good. I'm owning it. I'm owning it. I'm driving. And Jesus said, you know, you're to love her as I love the church. Listen, he talks to me a lot. And he says, you're supposed to love me as I love the church. Two things got revealed to me that day. Me being patient and loving my wife unconditionally and allowing God to change her. Because listen, if I change my wife, she will not be who I need her to be. Okay? He showed me that. You just be patient and I'll take care of it. You just keep, my grace is sufficient for you. And he showed me this. Imagine how you feel. How do I feel? How patient is Jesus being with the church? Seriously. He showed me this whole thing. Like, listen, Shayna's got it all over the church. Like, she has it way more together than the division, the 15 churches in a block that don't ever worship together. Like, Jesus called us to be one, man. Like, that's, he's not like, yeah, open another one. Don't ever talk again. Hey, you should badmouth that guy. Man, he is patient with us. And he wants to not only possess our homes, possess our bodies, possess our churches. Because he said when good, healthy marriages make for a good, healthy family, and good, healthy families make for a good church, a good, healthy church makes for a good community makes for a good state makes for a good country. Listen, Jesus moves that way. He does not just invade, save our country. How about save yourself first? How about you change? Don't put a post on that stupid Democrat, that stupid Republican. I had no plans on going here. But listen, if you have a room in your house where you're watching the news and throwing bricks at Trump or you're throwing bricks at the other people, Jesus is not going to sit there and watch TV with you. It says pray for your leaders. Pray for your leaders. And you know what that does? It might never change your leader, but it will change your heart to appreciate the pressure that that person has. We're all imperfect. Jesus died for every Democrat and every Republican. So there's nodding, there's a little uncomfortable look, like, you know, but listen, how many of us know right now that something needs to change for us to get there? Like, I'm putting two hands up. So like, if the guy up front has two hands up, you can get a finger in the air, like, behind your friend or something. Okay. So this is something we certainly need to work on. You know, the same kingdom that invaded this space really has never left. Like the manifestation, like the, you know, that whole electric vibe and stuff like that, you might not be able to feel it, but the same Jesus is here. And he wants to start correcting things. He wants to set that, keep that momentum going. My brother Robert, you're following. I know you already know where we're going to go. I believe I'm done here. I believe God's saying, go sit down before you say something stupid and turn it over to Robert. But I want you guys to seriously do not miss this opportunity. If God has shown you something, clean it out. Clean out the house before he sends somebody there to kick a wall down. And everything. Why not? Leave it here. How about it? You'll clean it up. You know, so thank you. Robert's going to take us through. Thank you.